Well, as you already know, the first couple of weeks we're going through the book of Acts, and we're now in the second chapter of Acts, which is kind of the, I guess, the climax of history at this point in time. Maybe not, because Jesus was here previous to this, and now Jesus has just left, and now the disciples are waiting for the what's next. We talked about that last week. What's next? They're waiting. They're wondering. Well, what's next happened? We call it Pentecost. I wanted to suggest something this morning about Pentecost and the way Pentecost oftentimes is treated. Some people treat Pentecost akin to something like the parting of the Red Sea, an amazing event that took place that just wowed those who were there. I mean, can you imagine the parting of the Red Sea? You know, you're there and there's the sea, and all of a sudden God goes whoop and you walk across. I mean, that's pretty amazing to me. Or what about God? You got to feed us when we're out in the wilderness and we don't know what to do. So every morning they get up and there's manna. And even when they whined and complained, God says, I'll bring you some quail. Every day they had what they needed. Pretty amazing, don't you think? Well, Pentecost is pretty amazing too, but I don't see Pentecost so much as an event as more like the situation that God used the rainbow for Noah. Not so much an event as it was something that was going to show them what God would do. What did he say with the rainbow? I will never cause another flood like this again. And the rainbow will be a reminder to you that God, I'm going to put it in my own words, that God's in charge and God's in control. I look at Pentecost as something very similar to that. Some look at it as the event, the wow. It was a wow. There's no doubt about it. They're gathered together in this room together, and all of a sudden the Spirit of God comes upon them in a powerful way. They could see what was going on as it looked like tongues of fire as it came upon each of them. And then what was really amazing, more so than that, was they start to speak. And when Peter's speaking, and others as well, all those gathered there were hearing him speak in their own language. Now, if that's not a wow, I don't know what is. That's a wow. Amazing. And they even were asking each other, I mean, are these dudes drunk? Because I can't put my head around what's going on here, but what's going on here is real. It's authentic. Something is really happening here. It's not mass confusion. It's not a bunch of drunk guys, but something powerful is happening here. And Peter was sharing with them the story of what took them to where they were. He was sharing with them the story of Jesus, the good news of the gospel. And for the first time now, this was being heard in a bunch of different tongues. You see, they were gathered there for Pentecost from all over the place, and everybody was hearing this message. To me, the amazing thing of Pentecost wasn't that. It was what it was going to mean for the church from that point on. The church exploded from that point on. And throughout history, the church has exploded. There have been times during history when the church has kind of been in a funk. I think we have been living through a funk lately. But I also believe that God can do another amazing thing. Why? Because God gave us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. He gave the Spirit of God to the church so that the church could go out, and we've got technology and all that sort of thing, but so the church could go out and share the good news of Jesus Christ with all people. So I wanted to get into the text a little bit this morning and kind of walk through this. Why did it have to happen the way it did at Pentecost? There could have been other ways God could have done this, I suppose. But I think what God wanted to show the people who were gathered there, he wanted to show them that, first of all, there had to be a good first impression. This was the start of the church. God wanted them to have a good first impression. I think that's why he came the way he came, the way the Holy Spirit came in such a powerful way. They had to be impressed with what God was doing, and God impressed those who were gathered there. Many came to know the saving grace of Jesus Christ. They had to also know that what was going on here was authentic. It wasn't just, as some said, a bunch of drunken men out here saying some pretty weird things. But no, this had to be authentic. And the Holy Spirit of God came in such a way, in such power, that those who were gathered there knew that what was going on here was something that was absolutely authentic. And in fact, if you go throughout the book of Acts, which we will, and you'll see that at many other times throughout the book of Acts, when there was a new people group that was introduced to the gospel, the Holy Spirit came in a very powerful way to them too. It was authentic. So that the apostles could say, you know what? What was going on here was a little bit more than what we expected, because it was mostly about Jews at that point in time. And now there were people groups that were hearing the word of God, and they were coming to Christ too. And they experienced the filling of the Holy Spirit too. And they were people who were like, wow, this is for all people, not just the Jews. There's a text in the middle of this Acts text that we read that is prophecy from Joel that was read, the second text this morning, the first text this morning, the Joel text, Joel 2. That's what is going on in four verses that are sandwiched between what was read here in Acts this morning. And in this text, Joel is saying that this is going to happen. He said in that first verse, verse 17 in the Acts text, which is the Joel text, in the last days, or a couple of the translations we have in the King James Version, during those days, but in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. What was happening at Pentecost? God poured out his spirit. And all known people groups at that point in time that had gathered there, they were all experiencing the message of God that the Holy Spirit had given to the disciples, to the apostles, to share with them. This was the beginning of, as we call in the last days, is the days of the church. And yes, there are some texts in Scripture that speak of the last days as the end of that church age. But in the last days, in those days, the Spirit would come. Jesus ascended into heaven, and the Spirit would come and pour out on all people, sons and daughters, young men, all people, men and women, verse 17 and 18 of that text. Something was going to happen. That something happened, and Peter was sharing with the folks from the book of Joel, that something happened right there, right then, this outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God, fulfilled in the event of that day. But like I wanted to share with you earlier, it wasn't just the event like the parting of the Red Sea. This was the beginning of something that would manifest throughout history in the church of Jesus Christ. Sometimes I think we limit what God's doing. But Pentecost was there to give us first impression, a powerful first impression. Pentecost came to show the authenticity of what was going on. Pentecost came to give the church a great start. Pentecost came so that the church could have momentum and go into the future. People's interest was piqued at Pentecost, and the church grew, as we'll read later on in Acts. I want you to know something this morning, lest we forget it. I don't think God had intended that the Holy Spirit of God be the emphasis of Pentecost. He wanted the message to be the emphasis of Pentecost. And the messengers were those of us who received the Holy Spirit of God to share that message with other people. Sometimes we get hung up on all the extra curricular activities and forget the main focus. The main focus was getting the message, the good news of Jesus Christ, out to all who would listen. But the only way we could do that in power was through the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. He said in that Joel text that this would come on all people. every language. We saw a glimpse of it then when all those who were gathered from all the nations around that area and heard the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language. Even now in the world we live in today, what is happening? The good news of Jesus Christ is being shared in areas where they never heard it before. My wife and I support a couple who has been with Wycliffe Bible Translators. They're from the area where we were before we came to Mackinac over 18 years ago, and we still support them. And they're in Bible. Wycliffe is known for Bible translation to groups that don't have the Bible in their language. And they continue. There's still some more people groups out there that don't have it. But with technology, they can get it out there a lot quicker than they used to. But that's going on in the world today, that on all people, every nation will hear the good news of Jesus Christ in their own language, just like those who were gathered in Jerusalem heard it in their own language. That's being fulfilled. See, we are a part, folks, of the last days. You and I are a part of the last days, and we are in the latter part of the last days. And I think it's awesome that God wants us to be a part of this. But what I don't want us to forget is we've got the same powerful infilling of the Holy Spirit that they had back in that day. And we act in the church sometimes as if we're impotent. We act in the church sometimes as if, well, God did some great and marvelous things back then, but he can't do the same stuff today. May I use this four-letter word I use for you sometimes? That's crap. God is doing today just like what he was doing back then. God is working powerfully in the church today just like he was doing back then. And it's our fault, I think, oftentimes because we don't believe that God is the same God he was back then and that he can do just as powerful a thing today as he did back then. We limit him. We box him up. We have him in our own little box, and God has these limits, but God is not limited by our little box. Not at all. On all people. We are the recipients of that promise. Sons and daughters, young and old. Another thing that Joel mentioned in that text, and something that we see going on today, but yet it has to some degree been going on all through the history of the church, the signs of the times in verse 19 and 20. God's wonders are evident throughout our history. It was climaxed in Jesus' death and resurrection. In fact, when you look at what happened during that point in time, these things spoken of in Joel were exactly what happened. The sun turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. I think that's a look back and also maybe a look forward. What happened in his crucifixion? That was the scene. The Lord is coming back again someday as well. Praise be to God. God's judgment signs were seen just 7 weeks earlier on Good Friday. The darkened sun, the moon, the earthquakes. And it also says elsewhere in Scripture that even in the latter days, like in Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 8, talks about the same kind of thing happening in the latter days. There'll be more of that. Folks, I just want us to know that the Holy Spirit of God is working today like he was working back then. And don't limit him. We do it. I do it. I limit him. Even in my prayer, I limit him and I say, God, I'd like you to do this, but I'm not so sure you're going to do it. God can do above and beyond whatever I think or imagine. I imagine the disciples here, the apostles, were wowed by what was going on there. But when the rubber hit the road after that, they still had to go out and do what God was calling them to do. You know, we don't always live on that mountaintop. I mean, Pentecost was that mountaintop experience. But then you have to go out there and live your life in the real life, the real stuff of life. And the Holy Spirit went with them wherever they went. And the Holy Spirit goes with you and me wherever we go. And the power of God living within us can conquer anything that comes our way. That's what Joel said to the folks at Pentecost. And that's what the folks at Pentecost are saying to you and me today. Everything in history hinges on this one event, not Pentecost, but on Jesus Christ. You can't get around it. We have to face the cross. You either deny it or you accept it. Why did Pentecost come? So that the world would know about Jesus. That's why Pentecost came. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. God, thank you for Pentecost. Thank you for the empowering of your Holy Spirit in our lives. That as we live our lives in Jesus Christ, we know that we are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. Sometimes we are not availing ourselves of the power of God that lives within us. Sometimes it's because of our own doubt. Sometimes it's perhaps we don't understand what God is actually doing, what you're really doing. And sometimes what you're doing takes time. But God, help us to trust that you indeed can do above and beyond whatever we think or imagine. Lord, I pray as we close our time here this morning that for those that came in this morning thinking that God was just, his power was limited by us, I pray that we leave understanding that God's power is unlimited, and because we are his children, because we are your children, that power is available to us as well. Work through us, we pray. Bring a transformation in this world, we pray. Help us to share the love of Jesus Christ with the world around us, Lord. Please, Holy Spirit of God, work. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' precious name. Amen.